800-800-3600. If you want to join us after we have the opportunity to visit with our good buddy, Eric Bacharach. He covers the Titans for the Tennessee. And Eric, do you care about fashion statements in football?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence. I think, you know what, I do. I think I care more when I really don't like what the team is wearing. That's when I particularly have an opinion. Otherwise, I mean, it's not that big a deal to me. I know it is to some.
Well, I remember in 2014-15, especially when both the Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville were lousy, but they had to get, you know, a primetime spot somewhere, so they'd always stick them together against each other on a Thursday night, and they would always play in those ugly uniforms. And it looks like something where that distant aunt, you know, picked your name and had to buy you a Christmas gift. So you're opening up presents on Christmas Day, and it's like, oh, this is the mystery gift. Let's see what Aunt Hazel got us this Christmas. And you open it up, and it's like those ugly colors that we saw in one of those bad football games, like the alternative uniforms that you rather have it be an alternative thing behind door number 8 instead of 1, 2, or 3.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what, how egregious, I guess, the outfit is as far as, you know, it not being aesthetically pleasing. I'm actually close to writing something about the Titans uniforms this year and in my opinions of them, you know, just with obviously this being the first season they're wearing these new uniforms. And to be honest, I really liked the Monday night uniforms that they wore against the Cowboys. It was just white, but it was really clean. I thought it popped. To me, those were some of the best uniforms of the year. And then, you know, recently they wore the navy blue on top and light blue pants. And for me, that was, you know, just too much clashing. I really didn't like that. So that could be in the pipeline for me at some point.
I guarantee there's somebody driving on the interstate right now that has like one of those bobblehead animals or figurines or whatever sports, and it's stuck there either on their in their front on their dashboard or on the back. And I'm telling you right now, there's probably folks going to agree with me right now when their heads are going to be bobbing. You know what made those uniforms pop in that Monday night game for the Titans against Dallas?
What's that?
They won the game. That's
yeah, exactly.
The people wearing them.
Yeah. That's why those uniforms popped in my eyes, because the Titans beat the Cowboys that night. So yes, they could have been wearing all black. I don't care, but they beat the Cowboys, and that's fine. Winning makes everything look and feel so much better.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. By that same token, I didn't like the outfit they wore against the Patriots, but you know, whatever works.
All right, this week, there's two ways of looking at Tennessee versus Indianapolis. And, you know, we insert Andrew Luck back into the equation because he wasn't a part of this last year. So it's a matter of spin control. From the Titans' standpoint, forget about that part. The fact that the Titans, after losing 16 of 17 to the Colts, they've now won 2 straight, including sweeping last year's series. The Colts look at it from, well, we beat the Titans 16 out of 17. Andrew Luck has won 9 straight. He wasn't a part of the 2 games last year, so we're going to ride with that stat and not think about the 2-game losing streak.
Yeah, and I think if you're the Colts, that's a very fair way to look at it, just because, you know, obviously your team is night and day, you know, when you add Andrew Luck back into the equation. And, you know, obviously people were, you know, I guess unsure of what to expect out of him, you know, coming off the injury coming into this season. But he's been great. You know, he's second in the league with 26 touchdowns, and I think the stat is 15 of those have gone to tight ends, which is just a remarkable number. You know, another big stat, you know, that the Titans are you know, looking at, have looked at quite a bit this week, is just the fact that Andrew Luck has not been sacked in the past 4 games, which is, you know, obviously really significant, just the fact that he's had a lot of time back there, that he's releasing it quick. And I think he's only been hit 9 times in the past 4 games. You know, so for a Titans defense that's playing really, really well, that's the focus this week.
We go back to, and here's the Colts 4-5, and certainly you can make the case where they should be 4-4-1. At the end of September, that was that overtime loss to Houston where they decided to go for it. Don't make it. Houston's an easy position to convert and make the field goal that happened to win that game for the Texans. But you look at the fact that this team is riding a three-game winning streak. Now, the wins have come against Buffalo, on the road to Oakland, and then last time out, last weekend, they knocked off Jacksonville. So you can go, show me what you got coming up on Sunday. I just like the situation with the Colts, with the fact that they're providing a lot better protection for Andrew Luck as the season has progressed. And I think it's one of these situations that the Colts will – this series is going to be split this year. The Colts will get theirs Sunday in Indianapolis against the Titans, and then the Titans will repay the favor on December 30th.
Yeah, I've kind of thought all along just with the teams that the Titans have remaining on their schedule, you know, if they split with Indy, and especially if they beat the Texans the following week, next week, I think they're okay. I think they could afford a split with Indianapolis, just given how soft their December schedule is. That said, obviously this is a game that you look at the picture, the playoff picture, in the AFC, and how other teams are doing, when it comes to the wild card outside of the division. And this is a really important game. So, you have to look at it like that. But, in the long run, if they do split with the Colts, I think they could be okay. Again, so much sort of rests on that game against the Texans the following week. But, yeah, you look at what the Colts have done, and I don't really discredit, what they've done the past three games, even though, as you mentioned, not the stiffest of opponents. I mean, the Titans lost to the Bills. So, take every game in the NFL, as a serious thing that, could go either way, no matter who you're playing, no matter when it is. So for them to rattle off three straight wins is obviously big. And, they're doing it with their offense. As I spoke about earlier, just how good Andrew Luck is playing this year behind that offensive line. And, they're averaging close to 30 points a game. But then again, this is the Titans defense that leads the league in that category and in scoring defense, and played a Patriots offense that was averaging 35.5 points per game over the previous six games last week, and then held them to 10 points. So, this will be another stiff test, but, just from what we've seen from the Titans this season, it appears like one they could probably handle. Just the key, again, is going to be making sure Andrew Luck is at least somewhat, uncomfortable back there, that he doesn't have all day to throw, that they're applying at least some pressure.
Eric Bacharach with the Tennessee and joining us. Last Friday when we talked about the matchup with the Titans in New England, we laid out the blueprint on how the Titans could knock off New England. It was right there. We should have listened to our own advice because everybody always thinks offense or defense, but you and I brought up the fact on special teams, New England was awful as far as what they were allowing opponents when they had chances to return kickoffs and punts, and that played in mightily in the Titans' win, especially setting up the two touchdowns when the Titans go up 17-3 after the first 15 minutes. Both the touchdowns set up in short fields with what they were able to do with the return game. That was great for last week. That will not be a factor, it looks like, coming up this week, because Indianapolis much better, especially in punt return coverage, as they rank third in the NFL.
Yeah, they are, and that's something that going into it, I think is something you'd rely on a little bit less. And by that same token, I think special teams for the Titans all year has been sort of the unsung hero of this group, just between what Darius Jennings is doing, leading the league in kickoff return yardage. Adoree Jackson is steady as a punt returner, and then obviously you've got Brett Kern. He's been really good punting, and Ryan Succop, doing what he does as a field goal kicker. And in coverage, the Titans have been, pretty good. So I think all year that's kind of been one facet that's been pretty steady. In recent weeks there's been some blips, but it's been a steady part of their success this season, along with the defense. I definitely do think it's, not something you sort of circle as you did against the Patriots and say this is where we need to take advantage.
One of the things, too, if you're just looking at stats, a little bit misleading when you look at the Tennessee Titans, for example, yards per game, they're only averaging 299 yards per contest, which means there's only two teams worse than the Titans as far as 2018 in the NFL. Same thing applies to passing yards per game. They also rank 30th in that category. it's almost like you can throw that out the window if you just base upon what we've seen over the last two games. It's almost like none of that matters going into this contest with Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think those numbers are, you know, pretty misleading. You know, if you were just to sort of look on that and base, you know, sort of any expectations on those two figures. You know, because the Titans, to be honest, they haven't, you know, these past couple wins haven't necessarily, you know, gone crazy offensively. Obviously, against the Cowboys, they had a good day, and against the Patriots, too. But it's not like Mariota is throwing for 400 yards. It's they're being really sort of efficient with the yardage that they get. You know, a lot of it starts with the defense. A lot of it continues with special teams. And, yeah, they're you know, not playing to that figure, you know, 30th. In the league in passing offense, I think it is. They're obviously better than that from what we've seen the past couple weeks. You know, Mariota has looked a lot sharper as the season has gone on, as he's gotten farther away from that week one injury, you know, that was sort of this lingering thing, and also obviously learning a new system. We've seen him just sort of steadily get more comfortable, you know, gain that trust, and then a couple of his pass catchers that, you know, early in the season dropped a couple balls. So that's been building all year. You know, something to keep an eye on early Sunday will be, you know, whether or not he's got a couple of those pass catchers available, because both Taywan Taylor and Tajay Sharp were listed as questionable on the injury report today. Sharp was a little bit of a surprise to see there, honestly, just because he wasn't listed the past couple days. And it's an ankle injury for him, unclear of whether that's the same ankle that he hurt against the Cowboys, and then with Taywan Taylor, he hasn't practiced at all this week. You know, speaking with him in the locker room after practice today, he said he might be able to go. He called himself a game time decision, but you know, at the same time, I think you know, it's probably a lot to expect him to play, you know, given the fact that he missed the entire week of practice. So you're going to be looking at guys like Corey Davis, you know, to be consistent, Jonnu Smith to continue to build off what he's done. And then you need contributions from, you know, the Cameron Batsons, the Darius Jennings, the guys that are sort of being thrust into these roles. You know, but again, Mariota looks like he's, you know, had confidence in these guys, and that continues to grow. So we'll see if that'll be the case on Sunday against a Colts defense that has, you know, mostly been unsteady this year.
You talked about the Titans defense leading the NFL as far as points allowed. And we're talking about allowing less than 17 points per contest. Something stands out to me what the Indianapolis Colts have been able to do well this year. And I'm sure that the Titans players on defense quite aware of this, and they love challenges. And, you know, and because the regular season is so long, anything that you can use as a motivating factor, go for it. First of all, Indianapolis, number one in the NFL as far as opponents getting to Andrew Luck, as far as when you look at sacks per pass attempt, number one in the NFL in that category. They're also number one in the NFL keeping drives alive as far as third down percentage, over 52% success rate. Those are kind of things that if I'm on defense and I'm getting ready to face Andrew Luck and the Colts, those are kind of things that I'm going to try to flip those numbers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's another part of sort of what's gone into the game plan for the defense this week. And there's just been a lot of sort of fodder for that sort of thing. You know, again, going back to the fact that he hasn't been hit a lot the past couple of games, the fact that he is 9-0 against the Titans, and you know, that was, you know, a major thing we spoke about with all the players this, you know, early this week. You know, Jarrell Casey, you know, even said that you know, he lost to him twice, Andrew Luck in college when Casey was with USC and Luck was at Stanford. That would make him 11-0, and you know, just kind of looking at that and sort of how badly they just want to, you know, get that turned around and fix that here. You know, not to mention the fact that they could really use a win against the Colts, you know, just given sort of the trajectory of their season right now and what it would mean for their playoff chances. But there's just so much sort of built into this Andrew Luck storyline this week. That just continues to add to sort of, I guess, the bulletin board material for the defense this week.
Can you believe that here we are, depending on how things play out in that Jacksonville game against Pittsburgh, but after 10 games, we could talk about that all the nails except maybe one is in that coffin for the Jaguars this year?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to believe, and I think it's even honestly a little harder to believe that, let's say, the Colts do win this week. You know, the fact that they, you know, have a real shot at winning this division. I think going into the year, you know, everyone was kind of debating whether it would be the Jaguars, the Titans, or the Texans, and nobody really expected a whole lot out of the Colts, but here they are, you know, threatening, you know, more than halfway into the season. So that's been interesting to follow. But yeah, for the Jaguars, it's been, you know, quite the fall from grace. A lot of people had them pegged as Super Bowl contenders. You know, I certainly did. And it looked like that way maybe for the first couple of weeks of the season, but boy, have they fallen off a cliff. You know, kind of just really interesting to see the way this division has shaped out, given what we kind of expected going into the season.
Eric, first of all, be safe in your travels. Secondly, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And before we let you go, let the listeners know again how they can keep up with all your coverage of the Titans and of course, the NFL.
Sure, yeah. On Twitter, I'm at Eric Bachrach, and if you go online to tennessean.com/sports/Titans, you can find all my stuff there.